What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for being here with us for this Thursday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. My name is Joe Orrego, and I am your host. You guys can hit me up on Twitter at JoeOrrego99. That's JoeOrrico99. Hit the follow button there. You get links to these shows. You get links to my articles and, of course, all the other stuff that I put out on Twitter. All my fantasy baseball stuff goes out over there. So go ahead and hit the follow button. If you are enjoying the show, I'd really appreciate you guys leaving a 5-star review. If not 5, then some kind of positive review, hopefully 4-star. You know, it really helps us out here. It doesn't take too long for you guys. It just takes a couple seconds, and it really helps us out. So much appreciated if you guys can do that, those of you who haven't already. One last thing I'll say before we get going. We're going to be recording an episode later today for tomorrow's show with none other than The Welsh. If you guys don't know The Welsh, he is half of Fantasy Pros Leading Off podcast. He is half of the In This League podcast. He hosts the Prospect One podcast where he goes through prospects. He is, if you listen to fantasy baseball stuff, you pretty much know who he is. One of my favorite people in the business. It's going to be really great to have him on. We're going to be talking about ADP debates for next season. We're going to be talking about where guys like Julio will be going, Yordan Alvarez, comparing a couple of different players, like McClanahan versus Alcantara, stuff like that. So tune in tomorrow if you haven't, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Thursday earlier in the day, then we won't have recorded yet. And you guys can actually send some questions over on Twitter. I'm going to have I'm going to send it a tweet later today asking if you guys have any questions. So if you're listening to this in time, go ahead, send me some questions, and we will get to them on the show most likely. Going to be looking back on some of yesterday's top performers. The AL MVP race with Judge and Ohtani is very interesting. They both had great games yesterday. We're going to be looking ahead at a couple of matchups today that are of interest to me, and we are also going to be doing our deep dive into the waiver wire that we typically do. So let's start with Shohei Ohtani. Man, this guy, it's hard to even comprehend sometimes how good he really is. Even if he didn't hit at all, he'd still be one of the best pitchers in baseball. He went 7 innings yesterday, struck out 10, walked 3, and gave up 2 hits. He did get the victory. On the batting side, he was 1 for 4 with a walk, 2 RBIs, and he also stole a base. Nothing he can't really do on the baseball field. He is ridiculous. He's going to be close for the MVP. It's going to be him or Judge at this point. It kind of has to be. I mean, I know there's a lot of baseball left to go, but they're so far ahead of the rest of the field that it's hard to believe it won't be one of the two of them. So last night, Judge was 3 for 4, single, double, homer, knocked in 4. He walked, and he also stole a base. Unbelievably, Aaron Judge stealing a couple of bases this year. Not too many, but he's got 7 of them. He's already got more than he had last year. He is valuable as anything in terms of fantasy. You guys don't need to hear that. The question is, who is more valuable? Now, there's the fantasy question, and there is the actual baseball question. In terms of actual baseball, I think you have to say it's Ohtani just because he does both so well. In terms of fantasy, I think it depends on your format. If you are in a Yahoo league where you just have one or the other Ohtani, I think it really depends. I think I would probably, if I could either have Ohtani pitcher, Ohtani batter, or Judge batter at this point this year, I think I would say Judge batter just because of just how amazing he's been with the power. And he's also got the 7 steals, which is really fantastic that he has 7 steals. You know, like I said, only 6 last year. He's not really known as a big steal guy. That's massively valuable for you guys in any format. But to get some steals where you're not expecting them is always great. If you get them from the first baseman, it's great. Third base is also a great catcher. But even in the outfield, there are some guys who are not going to steal too many. Judge is typically one of those guys that's added a nice little, not really spoken on element to his value this season. It's all about the home runs and the RBIs and the good batting average, which it should be. But, you know, he's got 4 steals in the last month, a couple in the last week alone. So if he can maintain that, if he can get up to like 15 steals or so, I think he'll, it's hard to say, honestly. I go back and forth on it so much, who the MVP should be, because I feel like it's almost like the Vladimir Guerrero conversation from last year. Is Judge better than Guerrero was last year? As much as I hate to say it, it looks like he's just as good. He's going to probably hit more home runs. He'll hit for a lower batting average. The RBIs will be about the same, I think. As a Toronto fan, that I think Judge was better this year. That should go a long way. I'm not a Yankee guy by any stretch of the imagination, and I'd still think I would give it to Judge, but then you have to look at Ohtani. It's very hard. You know, there's a lot there's a lot to factor in here, and I really don't know. It depends how the voters are going to value Ohtani every single year. If they put it in their heads that Ohtani is the MVP forevermore, as long as he's at least decent on both sides of the ball, then no one else, including Judge this year, has any chance, especially when you see that Ohtani has been far better than just average on both sides of the ball. He has been elite. He has been absolutely ridiculous. 8-4 with the 2.44 ERA, 111 strikeouts in 81 innings. And then on the batting side, he's batting 260, 18 home runs, 10 steals. Both sides of the plate, he's been very valuable. His whip is under 1. He's given up 8 home runs in 81 innings, which is very reasonable. He's just fantastic. He's just overall, he's the best player in baseball, I think. It just depends on how the voters go in terms of MVP voting. I'm really not sure. I'm really interested to find out. I'm going to ask the Welsh, probably sneak that in later when we talk to him, what he thinks, because it's so complicated for me. It really depends on, well, maybe part of it will depend on what team you're a fan of. I think part of it will depend on the fact that Judge was kind of screwed out of an MVP 5 or 6 years ago, 2017, yeah. It was 2017 when he probably should have been the MVP, and in hindsight, he probably really should have been the MVP. And now he's, that might factor into some people's heads, that he might be owed a little bit. So I don't think it'll be a massive factor, but it might sway some votes his way, just people thinking, okay, Shohei won it last year. Let's spread the love around a little bit. It's unfortunate that it's not happening to Vlad this year because Vlad's not having quite the same level of a year that he had last year. If it's not Ohtani, it's going to be Judge. It would be cool if Jordan Alvarez could sneak into the race there. He's also been ridiculous, but I think that he's just a little bit of a step below for – maybe it's because he doesn't play in as big of a market. I don't know. But he is – there's definitely something there that he's just like, he'll be third in voting if the season ended today, I think. Well, maybe you could make a Shane McClanahan argument, but I think that Alvarez would be right up there, just maybe a touch behind Judge and Ohtani. It's not by much. If Alvarez goes completely crazy in the second half and those other guys slow down, I don't think it's impossible that he could win MVP. I don't think it's particularly likely, but it's definitely within the realm. So all guys to keep an eye on. In terms of the betting market, it's very hard to actually get value at this point on any of the picks. They're both really pretty heavily favored. I put an Ohtani bet down for $20 when it was plus 500. I think it's like plus 250 now, so I'm feeling pretty good about that one. I put $10 on Spencer Strider maybe a month or so ago to be the rookie of the year. What is that at now? It was at like, when I got it, it was plus 14 or 14 to 1. Now it is, if you just bear with me for a split second here. Now it's at plus 500, so 5-1. Could technically cash that one out if I wanted to for $17, but I'm going to just hold on there. I have some faith in Strider. The Ohtani one I really like. I got the MVP bet at plus 500. It was actually a boost. It was supposed to be plus 400, but if you guys bet a lot, I'm not sure if my viewers really engage in a lot of gambling or not, but it is fun. Not to like, you know, throw all kinds of crazy money, just, you know, $30-$40 at the beginning of the year or early into the season on some futures are fun. Division futures are fun. MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, those are really fun. As long as you don't throw like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on them, because then it can kind of take away the fun and then you just like desperately need them to win, as opposed to just be kind of cool if they win. At this point, it'd just be still pretty cool if I win these bets. I'd win like, I don't know, $300 off of $30 if they both win. So I'm just going to ride them out. I think it's more fun that way, personally. I don't really want to get so deep into gambling where it's a point where like I, you know, am throwing thousands of dollars down on stuff. I tend to stick to like $20 bets. Sometimes I'll do parlays with like 10 legs and throw a dollar or two on it just for fun. Mix it up a little bit. I'm not a massive gambler, but I do find some fun there in the futures odds. And the MVP one is going to be very interesting. As of right now, actually, I might as well while I'm here. AL MVP, so Judge is plus 110, Ohtani plus 250, and then it's Trout plus 800, Alvarez plus 900. Pretty much guaranteeing. At this point, it's going to be either Judge or Ohtani. I'm very interested to see how the line moves. Let's move on now to Corbin Burnes. He went 7 innings, struck out 10, walked 1, gave up 3 hits. Unfortunately, there was no offense behind him, so No victory. No victory for Corbin Burns again, unfortunately. It's okay. He's still, I mean, probably going to be in that Cy Young conversation. He's got the ERA down to 2.20. It's actually lower than it was last year, so is the whip. He's really damn good, guys, if you didn't already know that. It'd be nice if he can get some more run support, but anyway, we don't need to spend too much time on Corbin because we all know how great he is. He is still one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, no question. Over the last month, 1.66 ERA. Absurd. Decent chance that he repeats as the NL Cy Young. I know I've bounced around a little bit between Alcantara and Musgrove and Burns. Any of them have a decent chance. I mean, probably Alcantara and Burns are the front runners right now. And probably Alcantara, just for that same reason we mentioned with Judge and Ohtani. Just for the fact that voters like to mix it up every now and again. I mean, I'm sure there's some voters who like to vote for the same person 2 years in a row. I'm not sure we're going to see Burns get the Cy Young, but he's certainly deserving of it anyway. Let's talk about Josiah Gray. I love Josiah Gray. I really love this kid. I think he's going to be such a stud. And last night, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 base hits. He's really turned a corner recently, and he's got a 4.14 ERA for the season. Good strikeout numbers over the last month, 3.03 ERA. He's one of my favorite young pitchers in all of baseball. I think he's a serious buy candidate if you are in really any leagues. But if you're in a redraft league, I don't think the cost will be too steep. And I do expect him to just keep getting better and better. So for me, he's a strong buy if you can get Josiah Gray for anything below what you feel is. I mean, he's currently ranked, if you let me just pull it up, I think he's like top 200 and something or other here. 246. If you can get him for somebody else in that kind of range, you're going to be making profit off of him because not a lot of guys in that range are going to really perform the way he has. It's kind of weird the way that range or the way that value works on Yahoo sometimes. Players are ranked lower and higher than you expect them to be. Him being in the 250 range, it's definitely lower than he should be. If you can get him for somebody else in that range, I would go ahead and do it. Kyle Schwarber, again with Kyle Schwarber with the 2 home runs. I think back-to-back games, literally over the last month, he has 13 home runs. He's up to 27 for the year. And it's no longer a certainty that Aaron Judge is going to win the home run crown, at least if you're talking about the Major League Baseball home run crown. He's probably safe in the AL. But Schwarber has turned it on again, 2 consecutive Junes where he is just ridiculous. Last June, I think he was even better than this. He hit 16 home runs or something over the course of like 75 plate appearances. Just absurd. This is also ridiculous, though. Kyle Schwarber, I was debating whether or not he will be an all-star. He's pretty much guaranteed over these last couple days that he will be an all-star. 5 for his last 7 with 4 home runs. I mean, that's nothing you can really argue with there. He will be representing the Phillies at the all-star game. I believe it's at Dodger Stadium. We'll have that coming up in the next couple of weeks here. Brandon Nimmo, he had himself a very good game. 3 for 5, couple of base hits, a home run, 3 runs, 3 RBIs. And he was also hit by a pitch. I really like Brandon Nimmo. He leads off for a very good lineup. I think that he should be rostered in a lot more leagues than he is. There's not a lot of confidence in him for whatever reason. I love Brandon Nimmo. I think if you're leading off pretty much in any lineup in baseball, you're going to have value. If you're leading off for one of the better lineups in baseball, then you're, of course, going to have value. He's batting .278 for the year. He hasn't stolen any bags, but he had 5 last year. He could be able to sneak in a couple later on for the season. He's already got just about as many home runs as he had last year. He has more RBIs. He's maintaining a similar batting average. He's currently the 167th ranked player on the season, which is very solid, very solid. If you're talking about 12 team leagues, 167 would put him as like a 13th round draft pick. It's not going to knock you over, but it's definitely somebody who is going to be still worth rostering if you have any kind of need for a bit of an offensive boost, specifically with your batting average. I wouldn't hesitate. I would go out there and grab Brandon Nimmo. Let's talk about Hunter Dozier. We'll talk about a couple of Royals here, actually. Hunter Dozier, who has really turned himself around. I mean, earlier in the year, he was the butt end of a lot of jokes. People were always talking about how he shouldn't be a major league ball player. He's turned it around. He's been a fairly valuable fantasy asset this season, to be honest with you. He's 2 for 3 last night with a double, a home run, 3 RBIs. For the season, 9 homers, 30 ribbies, 2 steals, and a .263 batting average. That's fine. That's totally fine. Nothing you really necessarily need to go and add, like the fact that he's a first baseman is definitely not bode well for his fantasy value, just because we've talked about there's a lot of first basemen. There's probably 25 plus first basemen, that even more, maybe 30, that are valuable, that are rosterable, that you can have on your team. Not really a necessity to have Hunter Dozier, but nonetheless, he has been very valuable for those of you in slightly deeper leagues, or for those of you who have just chose to roster him in a standard league. He's actually returned pretty good value, so nothing really to say there. Andrew Benintendi, his teammate, he was 2 for 3 last night, a single, a double, 3 runs, RBI, a couple of walks, and he also stole a base. I expect Benintendi to be on the move. A couple of teams that will be interested most likely, the Phillies, my buddy Stephen Bagel, who works here for Sports Ethos, he's pulling together an article where we're going to be talking about, well, he's going to be talking about teams and players that he expects to be on the move. He is a Phillies fan, and I was talking with him about how Benintendi would be nice, not necessarily positionally, but just a nice another bat to replace Bryce Harper there. The only question is if they're going to put him in center field if he goes to Philadelphia. I would doubt it. I mean, you look at their options in center field there. It's not a lot. I would doubt it's Benintendi. I'm not really sure what route they would go exactly, but they're one team that might have some interest in him. The Blue Jays are another team that will always need a left-handed bat because there's only like one of them in the order. Well, two, I guess, technically. But they do need a power bat from the left-hand side. So I could see Benintendi going to Toronto. I could see him going to Philadelphia. You could always see any contending team going for a bat like that. The Dodgers always are going to be interested. The Dodgers are in the talented players at the deadline. So hard to say exactly when or who he will go to. But Steven's article is going to come out in the next few weeks. He's going to be, I'll share the hell out of it because I want everybody to see it. Steven's putting a lot of effort into it. Just talking about, I think, the 30 or 40 most likeliest trade candidates and their partners, or their likely trade partners / destinations. Going to be very good. It's going to be like a companion piece to my trade deadline show. So I hope you guys will check it out. I will put it all over the website, all over Twitter when it does come out because he's putting a lot of effort into it. Sent me a couple of screenshots yesterday. Should be a lot of fun, and the trade deadline should be very interesting. Now, I'll take a quick pause here. I mean, we've pretty much gone over the guys that I wanted to go over from yesterday. There's a couple of other decent names we could talk about. Jose Berríos had a pretty good game. Spencer Watkins had a pretty good game. Nothing really massive to talk about. Let's just talk for a quick second about Tyler Mahle and Frankie Montas, who are two likely candidates to get traded. They're actually on the graphic on YouTube that we've created, or that my buddy David Williams created for the thumbnail for the trade deadline show with Mahle and Frankie Montas on it. They're both hurt now. Well, shit, eh? I mean, you figure they're going to get traded regardless, but maybe not. I mean, with Mahle expected back after the All-Star break, he'd have to be traded pretty much right when he gets back. A lot of teams have been inquiring, but I mean, will that scare them away? He hasn't been so lights out that you'd take the risk regardless. It's been better recently for sure, but that's going to hamper his trade value a little bit, you'd imagine. I mean, if he gets back quickly enough and he's fine, sure, maybe it won't, but it's hard to say if a team will still go out and try and acquire him with the injury. Frankie Montas, he had his MRI and there's no damage in his shoulder. He has not yet hit the injured list, but another guy who, you know, he's expected to be traded. He's been ridiculously good this year, 3.26 ERA, 1.09 whip. And now Oakland might just be stuck with him until the offseason because of this. It's a shoulder for Mahle as well. Very ugly stuff when you're talking about pitching. I'm not sure that we're going to see them traded. I hope that we do. I hope that especially Montas gets out from there because he's someone who has really had his success hampered by the fact that his lineup is the worst in baseball. It's really been a detriment to his fantasy success, only with a couple of wins through his, I think it's 16 or so starts at this point. It's been hard for him to have fantasy value. He still has with the ratios, but wins are 1/5 of your categories, 20% of them, and Montas has given you exactly 3 of them to this point in the season. That's not good. That sucks. That's why he's ranked as the 159th player on the season, because wins do factor in so heavily, and he hasn't been able to give you them. When he does get traded, hopefully he still does get traded, then you'd figure a contender will want him. He'll go to a team that has a very good lineup, whoever that is, and you'll start to see more wins in the second half. Now, we might not see that happen at all. I'm hoping that we still do, especially with Montas, but also with Tyler Mahle. I have a lot of Tyler Mahle shares. I've mentioned him a lot this season. Ah, man, it's tough. It's tough. Assuming everything goes according to schedule, he'll be back for like the 22nd-ish of July. He'll have a week or so in there to have maybe one or two starts. Maybe this is assuming all goes well. With shoulders, you can't really assume that all is going to go well. Hopefully he gets one really good start in there before the break and they trade him, or he comes back and he's announced as healthy and then they trade him without him having a start. With Montas, they haven't put him on the injured list. That's a good sign, but like I said, with shoulders, you never really know. So there is always going to be a little bit of caution and a little bit of gray area. Let's move on now. We'll talk about some of the more added and dropped players in the last 12 or so hours since the day changed. So Nick Senzel, he's been added quite a bit. I don't know, guys. He's been hot as hell recently. If you really want to ride the hot streak, then sure. Second base eligibility is always nice, but there's not a lot of power. I know he's hit a couple home runs in the last week, but that's like he hit one last season. Granted, only 111 at-bats, but there's not a lot of power. There's not a ton of speed. I think we're grasping. I think there's some desperate teams reaching for trying to get some help here wherever they can. And I just don't really, really buy it for me personally. If you're in a deeper league, sure. If you really want to stream the spot in, I guess. But, I mean, there's better options, in my opinion, on the waiver wire. I wouldn't be jumping at Senzel. Jordan Lyles is the next guy being added. This is another desperation stream for some people. It's a little early in the week for that for me. I mean, maybe you know you need to make up some wins and some Ks. Jordan Lyles has been added in 5,000-plus leagues. That's a lot of desperate folks. He gets the Angels tonight. He's been okay recently. He pretty much has one good start followed by a bad start. If you're lucky, then that's how it typically works. Now, his last start was a good one. So if we're going off by that totally non-scientific evaluation there, then he is due for not a great start today. I'm not really sure what I'd expect, but I wouldn't want to be streaming him. I would not want to be streaming him. I just don't trust a lot of. There's a lot of faith being put in Orioles pitching recently between Kramer and Wells. I don't have a lot of faith. And the guy who went last night, his name is escaping me right now. What's his name? Spencer Watkins. A lot of faith being put, and you know they've had some good outings. They've been a decent team recently, but I think that's going to be very short-lived. I wouldn't be chasing Orioles pitching at this point of the season. That's a sign of desperation and that your teams need serious help if you're looking for Orioles pitching. I know that they've done well, but you can't expect that to go on. So no for me on Jordan Lyles. The Angels have sucked, yes, but the Angels are also very capable with Ohtani and Trout and the rest of them. I'm really not going to be too interested here. Let's talk Ronzi Contreras. I'm not sure if he's starting the first game of the doubleheader or the second game of the doubleheader. First game. He's supposed to start the first game here against Cincinnati. I'm okay with it. I'm not in love with it. After his last time out, he really screwed me over. He actually cost me a couple of weeks. He was terrible. Not a couple of weeks, but a week in a couple of different leagues, I should say. I think that he's all right. This is a tough ballpark, though. I do like him a lot. He's a lot better than what we saw against Milwaukee, and I do like him okay. I'm not going to be running to the waiver wire to add him, though. There's just you got to be a little more picky with your streams as far as I see it here. Tyler Wells is still being added quite a bit. This is a couple days in a row removed from a start now where there's still people adding him. He's up to 44%. Last week he was 31%. He's been very good this season, and you know if you want to add him and ride him until the wheels fall off, if there's anybody on the Orioles I would do it for, it's probably Wells because he's sustained it over several starts in a row now. I'm still not a massive fan of it, but if you want to pick him up and then ride him until he hurts you, then by all means. I won't be doing it personally, but I would understand if you wanted to do it with Wells. He's about the only one I would understand it with. Marco Gonzalez, people have added him tonight. Some more desperate people. About 3,000 leagues on Yahoo have added Marco Gonzalez. He's playing the Blue Jays tonight. He's had a few good starts in a row, I'll give him that, but I wouldn't be taking the chance here for a guy who does not strike out anybody. Yeah, he keeps the ratios pretty low, but the odds of a win here are fairly small, I would say. The Jays have started to turn it around here. I mean, the Mariners are surging. The Jays did win yesterday. Hopefully that's a step in the right direction. They just did come off of a bit of a losing streak, the Jays, five games. I wouldn't expect them to go back right into one immediately after. I'll be happy to leave Gonzalez on waiver wires and benches this evening. Josh Winkowski, he gets the Yankees, and again, we have some desperate, desperate folks here. Yes, he's been good, but he's going to face the Yankees tonight. I'm not a big fan of it, really not a big fan of it. I would save your ads for the weekend. No need here. It's too risky for me. The Yankees, yeah, they had a shit game against Pittsburgh, and then we saw what they did yesterday. They scored 16 runs. I'm nowhere near this one. Nowhere near Winkowski tonight. There's not really any streamers that I'm too interested in tonight. If you can still get your hands on Spencer Strider somehow, 79% rostered, then by all means. But I don't think he's going to be available in any sort of competitive league at this point. Eric Haas has been at it quite a bit. He's homered in each of his last two games, and he does have some deeper league value for sure because of the catcher designation. He's hit 4 home runs over the last 2 weeks, and he showed us last year 22 home runs in 350 at-bats. He can have some deeper league value, specifically, like I said, because he's eligible at catcher. Ramon Laureano has went yard twice in the Blue Jays series. He stole a base in the last game of the Seattle series. Over the last couple weeks, 4 homers, 7 ribbies, 3 steals, and a .261 average. He's likely trade candidate. I was about to say he will be traded. He's likely to be traded. I mean, if Oakland can't get rid of Montas, maybe they'll just try and get rid of Laureano for I don't know. They don't make much sense over there anyway. I'm not really sure what logic they're going to use. But I think Laureano will likely be on the move. Once he does, it really depends on destination. If he's going to a place that he can just be some more outfield depth, it's going to be shit for his value. If he's going somewhere that he can start on a contender, then it'll obviously be great for his value. But if he's just going somewhere to be a depth piece, a fourth outfielder, it'll really suck. Really, just it depends on where he goes. Value is not as certain when a player is traded, a position player, as opposed to a pitcher. It depends. If a relief pitcher is traded, the value is all over the place. We saw it last year with guys like Diego Castillo, Kendall Graveman, who got traded from their closer roles to non-closer roles, and then it was just kind of all over the place. It was hard to really roster those guys after that fact. So with the deadline, you kind of just have to wait and see. We'll make all kinds of predictions here. How many of them will be correct? That much, hard to say, really. Let's move on, and we will talk about some of the more dropped players. And typically what you're seeing here, like we've mentioned many times, it's just streamers from the previous day. Brian Bayo he's been dropped in more than 7,000 leagues. That was a very, very quick reflex for some people. We had talked about it on the show quite a bit. The reflexes of the fantasy community are just astounding. You added him, 30% of leagues added him, and now we've seen him dropped by like 15% of those leagues. It's his debut, right? If you're going to take a chance on the guy and he's bad in his debut and you give up on him, why did you even bother in the first place taking the chance on them? You're hoping for perfection. You're hoping for every single start of the year. They're going to be great. There's no pitcher in baseball who doesn't have some stumbles throughout the season. Every single pitcher has some bad outings. It just happens. He yielded 4 runs in 4 innings. He gave up 6 hits. He walked 3. Struck out 2. Hard time locating his pitches, right? It'll come over time. I don't think if you added him, then hold on to him. Why would you drop him after this? You know, if you're going to add him and you got to just, you know, jump in with both feet and invest a little bit. That's how I see it anyway. If you want to just use him as a streamer and drop him, then the odds are he wasn't going to have much value that way anyway. And he didn't. I forget exactly what I said on the show yesterday, but I remember saying something along the lines of you got to give him some patience. You got to give him some time here. Yes, he has great strikeout stuff. He will be a very solid pitcher in this league, but you have to give him a little bit of time if you did add him. If you just added him and dropped him already, I don't know what to tell you. It was a waste of a move. It was honestly a waste of a move. If you're looking for just one stream, then there were better options available than him. David Peterson, he is the next guy we'll talk about. He had not a great outing. He did strike out 7, but he walked 5 and gave up 3 runs. He's really got the strikeouts working over the last maybe month or so. He's really picked up the strikeout numbers. I'm probably going to be holding on to him if you still have him. Now, what happens when we see DeGrom come back? I don't know. Will he still be in the rotation? I'm not really sure, but he has earned his spot in the rotation. He had a bad start yesterday, but I think that he is still worthy of being on your roster. So I wouldn't be dropping Peterson just quite yet. Now we move on to the saddest player that I can possibly think of to talk about. Those of you who know me and follow me on Twitter, you probably know that I'm talking about Alex Cobb. And I'm so friggin' tired of this with Alex Cobb every time. The soft contact, base hits, the bloopers that are falling in there. When I checked in the 4th or 5th inning, there was only 2 balls that had been hit over 100 miles an hour against him. It was a double and a single. Not a lot of hard contact, and yet still, he allows 4 runs on 7 hits, no decision. He struck out 3. been holding on the whole year for Alex. I've been holding on, hoping that, you know, the luck will change. Horrible left on base percentage, horrible BABIP to go along with great strikeout numbers and improved ground ball percentage. That's like the magic formula for success to turn around, for regression to happen at some point. You know, when you're not leaving anybody on base when you typically have in the past, your strikeout numbers are up, you're inducing more grounders. You know, a lot of balls in play are getting down for base hits. You figured that kind of stuff will change over the course of the year. It hasn't. It's been awful to roster Alex Cobb, to be honest with you. As much as I've loved the advanced stats, my leash is growing shorter. The patience is wearing thin. He gets the same Diamondbacks next time out at home. I'm still holding on. And I know a lot of people will say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But I'm still holding on. And here's why. Because he still has half a season where he can turn it around. And there's no one on the waiver wire with that kind of upside in terms of the strikeout to walk percentage, in terms of everything that I've just already said with the BABIP luck and everything else. There's no one out there who pitches for an organization like San Francisco that really does a great job in developing their pitches, or their pitchers, I should say. So for me, I'm holding on to Alex Cobb. I understand that it's been very difficult to roster him. If you have to cut him, you have to cut him. But for me, I'm holding on a little bit longer. I don't know how much longer that'll be necessarily, but I haven't quite hit wit's end with him just yet. Mitch White is the next guy we will talk about. Now, he had a pretty decent start despite, I mean, four walks was the main problem here. One hit, one run ball. Six strikeouts. Like I said, the walks was really the only problem. A lot of people dropped him, and I understand it, but he has been pretty valuable this season so far, starting pitcher and relief pitcher eligibility. Either way, I'm fine. If you want to hold him, fine. If you want to drop him, fine. I'm pretty indifferent about Mitch White. I think that he can have some value. He won't necessarily have much value, but you know, a decent enough option that he can be a back-end guy, at least for the time being. Just a couple more guys we'll talk about here, and then I will get to our matchup of the day. So, Trevor Rogers. All the people who are highly touting Trevor Rogers. I mean, it's hard to say what the hell is wrong with him. He has no control anymore. He literally just has no control. And I don't understand it. He's still a kid. He's like, how old is he, 24 or something? Like, I mean, I think he's 23, 24, and 24 years old. Does he have the yips or whatever? I don't know. He walked a couple. He gave up three earned runs. He did strike out five, but there's just no point anymore. There's no point. He's ranked outside the top 1,000. He's still rostered in 59% of leagues. I should have put him in my article on the weekend, really, talking about players that you should be dropping. I should have had him in there and underlined three or four times. He's just a useless fantasy player at this point. The team does not put up any runs. We saw it last year with Alcantara. They've been better with him this year, but no, the run support for that team is dreadful. They're a dreadful offense. Rodgers, regardless of that, has had no control. 1.57 whip, the 5.57 ERA. He's got less strikeouts than innings pitched. He's only won four games. Just to speak further to that point about run support, he only won seven games last year with a 2.64 ERA when things were working out for him. If you're still holding on, you need to let go. You need to give up on him. Amed Rosario, he has been dropped. He's hitless in four straight games. I'm holding on a little bit still. If you look back over the last month, he's been fantastic. Yes, that doesn't necessarily predict what will happen going forward, but I'm not going to give up on a guy who's been a very valuable asset to my teams just because of a rough couple of days. I tend, like I've said, I'll be a little bit more patient than the average fantasy player. If I miss out on someone, I miss out on someone. That's generally how I feel about it, and there will be more options later on down the stretch. How many guys this year have been hot shit on the waiver wire, and everybody's gone and picked them up and then dropped them a week later? It's like, if you miss out on someone, it's not the biggest of deals to me. What I'd hate even more is to drop somebody and have them just explode. Now, I don't think Amed Rosario will be exploding, but at the same time, he's been a good source of steals with decent little power. I mean, only three home runs, but that's for your shortstop. That's not a bad power, really. It's not great, don't get me wrong, but that's his weakest category, but it's still something. Runs, 43 of them, RBI, 24. 274 batting average. If he can do what he did last year, which is looking like he probably will, 11 home runs, 13 steals. He should have more than 13 steals. Get over that batting average around 275, 280. No reason why he should be on waiver wires. He's still 72% rostered. And I agree with the masses. He should be someone that you're holding on to just for now. Not even just for now. We'll see how long he has value for. If he really falls off a cliff, then drop him. But I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. Let's talk about today's pitching matchup of the day for me. It's going to be out in San Diego. It's going to be Joe Musgrove and Logan Webb. Got some people who are a little bit worried about Joe Musgrove. A couple starts ago, he gave up 6 earned runs. This last time, he gave up 3 earned runs. It was against the Dodgers, and he struck out 10. So it was definitely a return to form. But we weren't seeing these kind of earned run numbers earlier in the season, right? He hadn't even given up more than 2 earned runs in any start before his last 2 of them. And now both of them, 6 earned runs against the Phillies and then 3 against the Dodgers. Now 3 against the Dodgers, that's fine. At Dodger Stadium, you're striking out 10, you're doing all right. So I'm not too worried. I've seen some people a little bit more worried than I am about him. Now, I do understand, of course, 9 runs over 2 games. When you combine that, when you just look at it, sometimes people look at facts from all kinds of different angles, and it can look really terrible depending on the light that is put upon it. So 9 earned runs in 2 games, not very good. If you're looking at the strikeouts, the previous game he only had 1 strikeout. So yes, 11 strikeouts in 2 games is okay, but for Musgrove, you'd expect it to be a little bit better than that. So I think people are worried kind of unnecessarily. I'm going to be starting him here against San Francisco. On the other side, Logan Webb, one of my favorite pitchers in all of baseball. He did have a bit of a rough outing himself the last time. Gave up 5 runs, only 3 of them earned against the White Sox at home. I'd expect to see a bit of a pitcher's duel here. And I'm hoping that we do see a bit of a pitcher's duel. It is, I believe, the lowest line of the night, the lowest over-under total at 6.5. So the odds makers are expecting a low-scoring good game, and so am I. I'm expecting this one to be hopefully a nail-biting pitcher's duel, because we don't see too many of those recently with just 2 elite pitchers going back and forth. I've mentioned it on the show before. I'm a former pitcher. I love pitching. I love to see a low-scoring game, maybe like a 2-1 score, something like that. I love those kind of games. Anyway, guys, I'll let you go for now. We'll be back later. Well, I'll be back later. You guys will hear it tomorrow morning when I'm talking with the Welsh. If you guys don't know the Welsh, go check out In This League podcast. Go check out the Fantasy Pros Leading Off podcast and the Prospect One podcast. A lot of podcasts. He does tons of stuff. He is very knowledgeable on minor leaguers. He lives in Arizona, so he sees the Fall League every year. Gets to see the prospects up close and personal. Really good dude who I'm very, very excited to talk to later on. If you guys have any questions, if you hear this before about 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time today on Thursday, July 7th, then send me some questions on Twitter and the Welsh, and I will try and answer them probably close to the end of the show. So, guys, that will do it. Thank you again. You can find me on Twitter at JoeRico99. Hit the 5-star button, follow, download, subscribe, do all that good stuff, and we will see you again tomorrow. Cheers, guys.